Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
You bet one bone to win 19. What site do you use where you can actually bet $1?
They let you do 50-cent bets.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah, literally, like, he dropped Superman down, like, the drain, comes out, like, God damn it, Superman. I don't know, honey. I don't know where he got that from.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City.
Part of the DITCOW Sports Network.
Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big football show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in smoky Southern California. We're still struggling to breathe out here, but we're doing all right otherwise. And we're still just mesmerized by the incredible tank job by the Los Angeles Clippers last night in a crucial winner-take-all Game 7 against the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference semifinal round. That was a colossal choke. And I still can't believe that the Clippers just lost that whole series. They're up 3-1, and it was insane. It was just unbelievable. So our panel may have thoughts on that, but tonight we'll focus mostly on football, and we should have a good time with everybody tonight. As you can see from all the folks assembled, we have a pretty good crew joining us on this program. We have most of our regulars. Ron can't make it tonight, but we think he'll be back next week, and we have our guest picker. Tom in New Jersey, I'll say it up front. On tonight, yes, hi Tom, how's it going? I hope everybody can hear us over on the YouTube feed as we begin. It's going to be a really fun show, so we will get into our picks. I know that everybody's excited for the football season, and we'll get into it. So, lots of stuff on the table. A really fun opening week in week one. NBA playoffs going on at the same time. Stanley Cup playoffs going on at the same time. Baseball going on at the same time. And all the circuses that come along with it. So we roll into week number 3 in college, week number 2 in the NFL, and week number 2 in our contest. Let's hit it! All right, football picks week number 2. And in week number 1, it was a big week for our friend Ron in New Jersey, who went 3-0 last week for a total of 6 points for the week. John in Connecticut was in second place at 2-1, and I, Dave in the City, was in second place as well, 2-1 for 4 points for the week. Andy, not as fortunate. He went 0-3 for the week, 0 points, but obviously the season is still young. The guest picks from our friend Coach Andrew Jacobson, 2-1. And we were really waiting into the deepest part of Monday night to figure out what his record was, because he had the Titans, and they barely covered 1.5 points last on Monday night. It was kind of surreal. So that's the story for all of us as we continue into everything here. I am checking to see if this whole scenario is... is recording this the right way, but let's go ahead and introduce our panel. You can see everybody here on the screen, those of you watching on YouTube. We'll start with our friends. Let's go and begin this conversation with our friend John in Connecticut, who did pretty well last week, and, you know, I'm sure the two of us, and Mike and Andy and Tom too, looking forward to the U.S. Open on top of all this football. John, good to have you with us. How's it going tonight?
Doing pretty well, Dave. I mean, we're moving up a notch this year with this live production, and I'd put my camera on, but I look terrible compared to everyone else on the screen, so maybe next time.
Okay.
But, it was an exciting week of football. Yeah, hey, Tommy, I see you waving there. Good to be back in the swing of things with the picks, and should be a fun season.
Yeah, definitely. I concur with that. We had actually had a minor technical thing. I'm supposed to put up slides right now as we do this, but I'm working on that. I'll get those up shortly. Andy's joining us on the program from Seattle. How's it going tonight, Andy?
Good. I'm really my focus is going to be just not kilter. I have so many problems with the Yankee lineup tonight. I'm texting with John Boy, and there's so much wrong in the world right now. And the Yankees, that should be front and center. The Yankee lineup,
oh, and
Cole not getting it. I mean, that takes everything. Forget the election. It's the Yankee lineup.
The backup catcher just hit his third home run tonight.
Wait, who did?
Higgy just hit his third home run.
Oh, that's
the backup catcher.
That is hysterical. Because you guys were talking about, I thought you were talking about Aaron Hicks. Is this some other guy? Higuera? Higashioka? Is that the guy?
Higashioka.
Higashioka. Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
That guy.
The dude. I guess not tonight.
Yeah, he's 3 home runs tonight. It's ridiculous. What?
Damn. Isn't it interesting how the Yankees got 2 starters back and all of a sudden they just started rolling? I mean,
we're not a juggernaut, though. We're not a juggernaut. Like our friend Yacht says, you're supposed to beat Toronto. You're supposed to beat Toronto by 12 runs.
Yeah.
Beat Tampa. The fan base notices.
I hope they're paying attention, Andy. But at any rate, this is our guest pecker tonight, Tom in New Jersey. Great to see you. How's it going, man?
It's going well. My wife just got home with the baby, so that's why I'm probably distracted. But everything's going good.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, there's the little guy. Aww. How's it going, little Landon? Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hey, hi. Hey, how's Dave?
Come on, little guy. Hello. You see my baby? Right, my baby going. Voice.
everybody else cares. Just a baby. But let's keep going.
All right, sounds good. So,
Tommy, before we get started, what happened to our fantasy league again this year? Just completely disbanded. Just a terrible job out of everybody.
Terrible job out of me for not getting new people. But it was tough with the corona and everything. It was just I kind of fit the bit and should have just gotten more people to do it. But yeah, I mean, we went from 14 down to like 8 or so, and people weren't paying, and I wasn't doing a good job.
Yeah, that's fine.
It was a bad job.
Yeah. Especially this year, it's understandable. I'm just busting your chops. So that's terrible about people not paying. Like, get them out of the league, seriously.
Yeah, I know.
Send Del T after him.
I know. I should have gone to pontoon. He would have gone on the pontoon boat and gotten people. I think he's still in Wisconsin.
Right now? That's wild.
I think so, yeah. I think he's been there literally the entire summer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. That's what he usually does. So, not too bad. I mean, I don't want to get too far into that, but it's cool to have like a nice place like that. I was going to say you could be in worse places than Wisconsin, and that would have been a really, really tone-deaf comment. But anyway, let's talk about week one. It was really quite a lot of juice, I got to say. So we can start with John. John, what was your thought on week one last week?
We're talking NFL, right? Not college.
Yeah, yeah. We've changed it, so now we do the NFL first, and then we'll do college like later.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, I said it on Sunday morning, like after everything that we went through in the off season and with COVID and just the whole, you know, are they going to play? Are they not going to play? Are players going to be, you know, sitting out or not playing because of COVID? I've never been happier to see the NFL red zone come on my television. And also, like, having everybody, no COVID issues at all with the NFL. So that was a huge positive, number one. And to actually have games on the TV was awesome. And then, you know, when you're watching the games itself, I mean, the no fans, actually, I didn't think it was too terrible. I think the networks could have done a little better job of with the crowd noise. Like, you really couldn't hear it. And I guess that they had taken pieces from each individual stadium and then like synced it up with what was happening on the field. So like if, you know, they took a play from how many ever years ago when someone got stopped on fourth down at, you know, at the Viking stadium. And then whenever that happened in the stadium at the game on Sunday, they played that clip, but it wasn't really, you couldn't really hear it, at least on my, you know, what I was watching. But honestly, I didn't really notice the no crowds being there. It was definitely a little odd at first, but you're going to see all season, as long as there's very limited or no crowds, you're going to see a huge advantage for road teams, especially in tough places to play. Like, for example, Minnesota, that the dome is usually just rocking and so loud with fans. And Aaron Rodgers went in there on Sunday, and it was like a scrimmage. He threw for, what, almost 400 yards, four touchdowns. So that's something to watch out for when you're, like, you're doing betting and picks and whatnot. And there's definitely less of a home field advantage in those areas where there'd be a really large crowd. In terms of the gameplay, I thought it was pretty good for having no preseason and no scrimmages. You know, obviously the game of the day was the Bucs and Saints. You know, the Bucs kind of looked out of sync, but again, that's what you would kind of expect with a new team, like a new coaching staff. I'm sorry, new quarterback, a lot of new players. Teams with new coaching staffs kind of struggle, which is what you're going to see. So, I mean, I'm not really going to comment on too many of the games. I guess I'll let these guys go for it. But I think overall, the quality of play was really good. And, you know, it's definitely good signs going forward. As long as they keep this daily testing plan that they have in place for COVID and there's no huge outbreaks like we've seen in college football. I will say, Dave, your friend Coach, yeah, he covered with the Titans when he sent in his pick. But by game time, it was Denver plus three. So some of us jumped on that, and we're very lucky that Gutskowski was the Titans kicker, that's for sure.
Oh my goodness, that was crazy. I actually did the same thing. I actually had Titans minus three, and that was that really did not work in my favor on that night. It was kind of a frustrating game from in a lot of ways that we'll have more to talk about with that game. But let's go give it to Andy. And let me ask him to unmute first, just to make sure. How does that work? Come on. Go. Yeah, Andy, if you can unmute yourself somehow. We'll give it to you for the week one recap.
Okay, well, John kind of nailed it on the head. I was going to also add that the play was pretty crisp for no preseason, probably limited structure at practice. You know, not to to borrow what Chris Collingsworth said on Sunday, he was surprised at how good, you know, the offense was, the tackling, and I had to agree. And then we got to Monday night in the first 6 minutes of that Giants-Steeler game.
Yep.
And you could throw all that out the window because that was just an epic turd fest for about 6 minutes. You know, Twitter was just killing Ben. You know, he's like, he looks like he missed a decade, not three quarters of a year. But then he turned it around, to his credit. So that the gameplay there got a little better. We could probably talk about that game maybe in more detail later. But as with respect to Tampa, you know, Peter King the other day said that, you know, Tom and his teammates have only been taking snaps together for a month. So, to borrow Gamble's mantra, they need to gel. And they'll probably be better as the season goes along once they get a little more rhythm. It's a different Saints team, obviously. You know, some of my buddies in my clown fantasy league were, you know, why did Drew Brees only get 18 fantasy points? And because Brees doesn't throw the ball downfield anymore. They're built different now. It's more of Kamara, and it's just a different scheme. I mean, if you want to be really objective, it, you know, some people could argue that Taysom Hill is better, could be a better quarterback than Brees at this point. But, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, that Chargers-Bengals game, it was a reversal of fortune. Usually you see the Chargers screw the game up with a bad field goal, this, that, and the other. But, you know, the Chargers were the recipient of another team's foibles. Maybe just Phil Rivers just carried that with him, because that Chargers-Jaguars game, I mean, the Chargers were leaving – or the sorry, the Colts were leaving points on the field left and right. And, you know, Gardner Minshew might be the worst possible quarterback for a team that's, you know, all but trying to lose as many games as possible, because Minshew's got some moxie. You know, a lot of teams could use the Gardner Minshew. That was – the Colts, I know they probably screwed a lot of money line parlays. I could speak from experience. And then, yeah, you know, Matt Berry hated Aaron Rodgers week one. And what did Aaron Rodgers do? Throw for, you know, four touchdowns and a ton of yardage. And all his receivers looked very good. And, yeah, it was crazy. You know, a lot of people weren't surprised by that Cardinal game against the 49ers. So yeah, like everyone has said, and I'm sure Tommy will say too, you know, with the exception to the Browns and, you know, maybe the Giants, there weren't a ton of turds dropped week one.
And I will mirror your point as far as the quality of play. I noticed it on Thursday. I was even just texting people like, hey, you know, the tackling's a lot better in this game. And like you said, much of Sunday was the same thing. So I got to give a lot of credit to everybody. And the officiating was better. Like, you didn't see all the flags. You didn't see a lot of bad calls. But Monday night gave some of that back. So that was the only unfortunate thing. So, Tom, let's give it to you. I'll let you give you a chance to unmute. And let's get your thoughts on week number one.
I just want to add that the Eagles, I thought the Eagles' play was a disaster in the second half. I've never seen a worse O-line, and I'm a Giants fan saying that, so that's something to Washington defensive line just destroyed the Eagles' offensive line, and that's I didn't watch that game too closely until the second half because I thought the Eagles were going to win because they got off to such an early good start. But, man, and then Peterson going for it on that fourth down. My friend who I was watching the game with killed Peterson for going for it there, but I thought it was a smart move. I mean, they were going to lose anyway, so I thought it was good to go down guns blazing there. But like John and Andy were saying, I thought the play was pretty crisp. And it shows how little preseason means and how it's just such a money grab. But, yeah, I thought I was actually pleasantly surprised that the tackling was good. The play itself was good. I thought most of the games were good. The Jets game was a freaking shit show, like it always is. It's sad that two of the worst teams in the NFL are both the two New York teams. And it's been, like, years now that they're both – disasters, and they're both like legitimate top five picks every year now. It's bad. I'm just glad that I'm not working at the stadium this year. I don't have to watch it every week. But I was like John, I was totally looking forward to week one, and I was happy with the play. I was pleasantly surprised, as I said. But yeah, that's about it.
Well, I tell you, I think it was a good way to open the season. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have anything else? I'm sorry. Didn't catch it. No. But, yeah, I was just going to say it was a good way to open the season. And I think, all in all, a lot of fun games, close games. It wound up working out in the end. So, with that all wrapped up, let's go to the picks for week number two of college. I mean, I'm already stuck in last year, too. Let's go to week two of the NFL. And then we'll start this with Ron's picks. So, let's give that to you now. Okay, so here comes the music, and we're ready to go. All right, week number two in the NFL for Ron in New Jersey. Here come the picks. I don't have time to put up the slide. So the scenario is this. He gives us the first game out of the box from a team that actually had a really good performance. I'm actually surprised John didn't talk more about this game. I mean, the Packers had a really wild second half. And so Ron's going to ride them again. He's going to go with the Packers giving six against the Lions in the home opener at Lambeau Field for Green Bay. Game number one. Game number two for Ron, he's going with the Seahawks in what could be a classic on Sunday Night Football. Seahawks -4 against the Patriots. This will be a pretty close game. Obviously a different look to the Patriots now with Cam Newton rather than Tom Brady, but it should be still a pretty solid performance. They did pretty well against Miami the week before. Seahawks, same thing. They went out and they destroyed Atlanta. So for Ron in New Jersey in the NFL, he has the Packers -6 and the Seahawks -4 for NFL week two. So now we will go to you, John, and we are ready for your picks for week number two in the league where they pay for play.
All right, Dave, thanks. We'll start off here. This is the first line that kind of jumped off the page at me, and it may end up being a trap, but I'll fall right into it. I'm going to take Carolina getting 9 points in Tampa. And Andy mentioned it earlier. It's going to take probably a month or so for the Bucs to really gel with their offense. They weren't, you know, they moved the ball a little bit on Sunday, but they weren't all that impressive. You know, they have some injury concerns. I saw today that Chris Godwin is in concussion protocol. the other day when they passed it to Gronk, I thought they were throwing it to an O-lineman on that one screen pass. I couldn't believe that was him. He's so washed up. It's not even funny. But, you know, the whole point is that they're just – it's going to take them a little while for the offense to be cohesive. And giving so many points in a divisional rivalry game, it just it doesn't really make much sense to me. That's why I'm thinking it could be a trap line. But – you know, Carolina's defense isn't very good, and they were terrible last year. They're still not very good. Their secondary is a little better than their run defense, so maybe, you know, Fournette and Ronald Jones will have a good game. And, you know, they'll kind of run down the clock a little bit, and that'll help keep the score closer. But, you know, over a touchdown, I just felt was, like, way too much here. Teddy Bridgewater is, like, the king of against the spread as a quarterback. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I know it's like 28-10 or something ridiculous like that. And, you know, the backdoor cover situation will be wide open in this. You know, I think Matt Rhule will do a good job there in Carolina. And again, you know, it might take a little while for them, but they're going to be competitive. I don't think they're going to get blown out in many games. And you know, I just see this as a close divisional matchup. So give me Carolina +9 for game one. For game two, you know, if you look at this game a week ago, before week one was even played, the line was Eagles -3.5. Now, granted, the Eagles played terrible against the against Washington, and the Rams win on Sunday Night Football against the Cowboys, and all of a sudden, now the line is Rams -1. It's just your typical week one overreaction. So I'm going to actually take the Eagles here +1. And I think they'll win the game outright. You know, you saw some news today about Lane Johnson returning, which is going to be huge for their offensive line. Miles Sanders is going to be back, and that'll help their running game. You know, everyone in the fantasy community was on Boston Scott last week, and he just put up a huge dud. But I think having Johnson back is going to be key. I don't think, you know, the Rams, you know, the one way to pressure Goff is like defensive line pressure right up the middle, and that's what the Eagles can do. That's the strength of their defense, and I just think people are too high on the Rams coming off a primetime Sunday night win. Everyone's too down on the Eagles. They're not as bad as they looked in the second half against Washington. I think they'll get things corrected, and I think you're getting great value here on the Eagles. So give me Philly +1 and Carolina +9 for week number two.
All right. Thank you, John. It was good luck to those, of course. And now we segue over to my picks. If I can just move the slide. There we go. Okay. Week number two in the NFL for Dave in the City. Coming off a 2-1. We're going to go checker on a checker with our friend Checker. So that would be Panthers +9 at the Bucks. Similar, I mean, everything he said. I don't know how much to add. The only thing I'll say is that, man, you're talking about teams that looked pretty bad defensively a week ago. Not a good spot. So with that in mind, I can't imagine how they would pull away from anybody in that spot. So I will take the road team here, and I'm expecting a pretty close game. Game number two is a game that was featured last year in their own building. The Ravens destroyed the Texans. I believe the score was 41-7. I don't see how it goes differently just because they're in Houston. I just think that this is a far superior team. Much better, you know, I'm not going to say better quarterback because I think Deshaun Watson's tremendous. But once you get into, like, defense and special teams and how and especially the coaching, it just starts to get embarrassing. So I'm going to go with the Ravens to take down the Houston Texans pretty easily in their second game of the season. So for week number two, I'm going to go Panthers +9 and Ravens -7. All right, so next up, we're going to Andy's picks. And Andy, we're ready for you when you are.
Thanks. So could you guys hear me eating all those almonds? If I wasn't, it doesn't really matter.
I didn't think I heard that. No, you're good.
So,
you're good.
So why not? If this was week 15, I would have pivoted, but it's week two. So let's do triple checker on a checker. I'm also going to jump on that Carolina bandwagon for all the reasons that Dave and John mentioned, and for once I do have a little fact in front of me. Teddy Bridgewater is 16-3 in his career against the spread as an underdog. He was 16-2 going into the year, but they didn't cover against the Raiders. So getting all those points, You know, the thing about Tampa, I don't care who's coaching, who's quarterbacking, they just have a penchant for just stupid penalties and sloppiness. So, you know, Carolina could take advantage of that, especially when they're pursuing a backdoor cover if it comes down to that, and the Tampa Bay defense commits an egregious pass interference, roughing the passer, stupid stuff like that. That's the stuff you need if you're trying to cover plus nine. So give me Carolina for game number one. Game number two, there's so many spreads that are between 6 and 7. I bet you people probably going to do these, you know, three-team money line parlays with the likes of Kansas City and Baltimore and San Francisco, and someone's going to break their heart. So let's look to New York and San Francisco at the Jets. San Francisco is given 7. I'm going to take the 49ers here. Yeah, they could have a little Super Bowl hangover. Yeah, Shanahan might think he's smarter than everyone else. Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo might not be that good. But I think the Jets are just a turd on a stick. Adam Gase, maybe he doesn't have crazy eyes. Maybe he does have crazy eyes. Shut the F up about Adam Gase's eyes. I don't think he's that good of a coach. They had so much drama in the offseason. You know, they got rid of their arguably the best player, traded him to Seattle. Sam Darnold just seems like, even if he's talented, he's just surrounded by levels of ineptitude, and he's just kind of drowning in it. And I don't feel bad for him because he's a millionaire, but it just, we might be looking 5 years down the road and be like, man, Darnold just, he just wasted his time with the Jets and just kind of went completely backwards. And San Francisco, you line them up, I don't care if you're playing them where in New York or playing on the moon, they should be able to beat the Jets by 7 with fans, without fans. Look for them to rebound. You know, Garoppolo doesn't really have to do too much. You know, San Francisco should win up with their running game and their defense. And again, the Jets, just their inability to do simple things, both offensively and defensively. San Francisco should be able to win by 7. So give me San Francisco -7 to go with Carolina. I think you guys added a +9 for week 2 in the NFL.
Thanks, Andy, for the picks. Yeah, and it is, in fact, +9. So that, I think that's a pretty generous spread. Hopefully that works out for all of us. So that brings us to the guest picks, and that would be the picks of Tom in New Jersey. And Tom, I'll give it to you when you are ready to go. And when you are... And go ahead and unmute yourself again. And it's all yours, Tom, for week 2. And we wait, and we wait, and we wait. Let me see if I can ask him to unmute. See what happened here, guy. Oh, there we go. Okay, Tom, you ready?
Yes. So week 2, I'm going to go checker on a checker with Andy and take San Francisco -7 at the Jets. I think the Jets are terrible. Tons of injuries. Their top wide receiver is ruled out for this week, I believe. Their new offensive lineman's hurt as well. Le'Veon Bell's out. They just, who's Sam Darnold even going to throw the ball to at this point? It's that bad. So I think San Francisco is going to easily cover that number. So San Francisco -7 at the Jets is my first one. My second one is kind of a surprise, but I like the Chiefs. -8.5 at the Chargers. And my reasoning is simple. I think the Chiefs are by far the best team. Nothing they did on Thursday removes any of that doubt. I just think the Chiefs are by far the best team. I'd be shocked, I'll say this now, if they don't at least make it to the Super Bowl. I think they're that good. I can't see Mahomes getting stopped at all in the playoffs. If you keep them under 30, you did a good job with that team. So I'm taking the Chiefs -8.5 at the Chargers for my second pick.
All right. Thank you, Tom. I wouldn't say that's bold, because I feel like the Chiefs have really looked at that they were on all cylinders a week ago, and I mean they really haven't lost a lot of guys. That's what's so interesting about that team this year. Let's go take a look then at this featured games this week in the NFL. So let's we can do this now. And here they come. So these are the featured games. You can see them on the screen if you're watching on YouTube. You've got the Bengals at the Browns to start the week, and that's a pretty good one. I like that one. Panthers Bucks, we talked about that one already. Ravens Texans, I talked about that one. It's pretty much all these were covered in picks, except for one, and it's over here. Saints versus Raiders, which could be sneaky good. Michael Thomas is ruled out for the game. It could be very interesting. So let's go back to John and I wanted to get your thoughts on this week's action. Any games that stood out to you?
I mean, Bengals Browns is good. I mean, I don't know. I guess I didn't get that memo. you know, it's the game. It's an NFL Network only exclusive. It's not too good. But in any event, it's football, and we'll watch it tomorrow night.
I kind of like the
Browns in that game. I don't think they're as bad as they looked against the Ravens, and you know the Bengals. Burrow definitely showed you some things. He's going to be a good player. But I just think the Browns will rebound and get the win tomorrow. We talked about the Panthers and Bucks, and Tommy talked about the Chiefs game. Yeah, the Chargers are just Tyrod Taylor. He would rather lose his leg than throw an interception. He just does not take any chances. The Chargers are going to be a good under team all year because they have a good defense, and they're just going to be so conservative on offense. They just don't want to take any chances. They're going to want to run the ball and play good defense, and I think that this is going to lead to a lot of unders with the Chargers all year. So that's something that I'm going to be looking forward. The Ravens Texans. I don't know. That's an interesting game. You got to figure Houston's going to play better than they did against Kansas City. Just their defense is just so bad, and you could just see the Ravens running game just destroying them the entire time. The Chiefs had those long drives where they just held possession and went right down the field for 80 or 90 yards. And it just broke the Houston, their will, basically. And you could kind of see the Ravens running game doing this here. So just on the principle of overvaluing and undervaluing, I would say the value is with Houston +7, but I don't know if I can take them for that game. The Sunday night matchup is pretty good. Cam Newton with the Patriots is interesting. He really didn't throw much on Sunday, but he really didn't have to. I mean, they pretty much controlled the game with their running game and their defense, which is kind of they're kind of like the Chargers. That's kind of how they're going to have to win games, I think, all year. And the McDaniels adjusted the offense for sure for Cam Newton. He definitely has skills in terms of, holding the ball and running like Brady didn't. So it's just a huge new wrinkle to all that, and that's kind of what they're going to have to do for a little while. It's a tough spot in Seattle, but again, no crowd for this game. So Seattle is not as an intimidating place to play as it usually is. So, we'll see if the Patriots can do anything. Bill's going to come up with a good plan to try to stop Wilson and all that. Seattle had a really nice performance in week one. I fell into the trap of thinking that Atlanta might try. Dan Quinn is such a joke. Seriously, are they going to start 0-5 or 0-6 again? He's going to get fired. And if they don't fire him, then watch out. That's when you watch out for the Falcons, is when they're 1-7 and they win 6 out of the last 7 games. What is just a joke of a franchise and team that is. I'm bitter because I did have the Falcons last week, but in any event, in the Monday night game again, this would have been just a wild scene if there were fans allowed in Vegas for their opening home game against the Saints on Monday Night Football. I mean, they would have been sold out, and in the secondary market, tickets would have been just hundreds and hundreds of dollars. But unfortunately, due to COVID, we have no fans in attendance. And I have to say, I kind of like the Raiders in this game. I mean, the Saints, they had two touchdowns off of basically turnovers from the Bucs. They had the pick six from Brady, and then they had another touchdown where those two Bucs players muffed a kickoff. And that led to another Saints touchdown. They really didn't have many yards of offense. I think Breeze only threw for 180 yards or something. And without Michael Thomas, it's just going to be a struggle for them to really get explosive plays. So I definitely think that the pick here is Las Vegas, in my opinion, getting 6 points. It should be a pretty good game. So that's just kind of my brief look at some of those featured games, Dave. Really nothing else too interesting on the schedule. The Packers at home against the Lions, I'll be definitely into that. We'll see if Rodgers can have another good game and get off to a 2-0 start.
Yeah. You know, I remember what happened the last time those two teams played in Lambeau, and there was a questionable call, and it was a pretty tight game. So I'm kind of curious as to how the Packers can build off that. I was very encouraged by what Rodgers did. I know, like you were saying on Twitter, John, that he seemed people were writing him off, and maybe that's premature. But it was a good spot. So let's go over to Andy, and let's get your thoughts on week number two.
Yeah, I'll never understand why people continue to poke the bear and question, is Aaron Rodgers done? Why? Because he didn't have a good playoff game and when they got eliminated last year. I mean, San Francisco makes a lot of quarterbacks look foolish. He single-handedly won the Seattle game last year. Look at the tape. I don't have it in front of me, but he made some pretty goddamn good throws against Seattle last year. It's not like he's an old man. So get bent, Matt Berry, you stupid piece of shit. But yeah, like there's some good games, and I could just piggyback on John's rant about Atlanta. Dave, we talked about this on the board. Like, I was a fool for doubting the Seahawks. I thought Atlanta would be ready to play. This is Quinn's last stand. And Seattle, to my surprise, they started the game throwing the ball up and down the field rather than, you know, basically not letting Wilson do anything till the second half, which is what has been their MO traditionally. And then, yeah, Atlanta, once they get down a bunch of points and the game is basically out of their realm of winning, that's when Calvin Ridley goes off. That's when Matt Ryan goes for over 300 yards and 4 touchdowns. It's all window dressing. It's all garbage yardage. They're just a bunch of frauds. And I fell for them. But yeah, they're the best when no one cares about them. that Seattle, yeah, it's a shame because that Seahawks-Patriot game, it'll still have juice. Like, it'll still have juice, but it just won't be the same without, you know, the Mongos in the 300 level, just like going crazy. And yeah, the Patriots are they're definitely built much different. I don't know if, like, I think Cam only threw 20 times against Miami, like 15 for 19, 15 for 20, something like that. So it's just a different wrinkle. Defense first, ground control. Everyone here has seen Cam Newton since he was at Auburn. And love him or hate him, when you're betting against him, he is such a pain. He is so hard to bet against when he's healthy because third and two, third and three, you know, more times than not, they're converting it. They're converting it, whether he's running it, whether he's dinking it, whether he's dunking it. That is the best. Like, some quarterbacks, you want them in third and two, third and three because their brain will short circuit. Cam Newton, third and two, third and three, he just turned the page, moved the chains. That should be a fun game. Ravens-Texans has some potential. You know, like I said, two really good quarterbacks. Houston's such a Jekyll and Hyde team. You know, Don said he might lean Houston, but, you know, once you take Houston, they get a bunch of points, and then they burn you. Then you're like, God, why did I take Bill O'Brien, right? But then again, it's in the range of backdoor potential too, because the Chiefs and their defense – as we saw it, you know, they could get – I'm getting my teams confused anyway. Look at Chiefs. Look at the Ravens. Too many graphics going on. Chiefs and the Texans played last week. but anyway, yeah, maybe even Harbaugh's defense can get in prevent style and in Houston's backdoor in themselves. But, yeah, there's – you know, it's week two. There's a bunch of, you know, good games that are all listed here. Again, that Monday night game – in Vegas would have been, you know, Mongo Central. Yeah. I don't know if John would have been there that week because he usually goes to Vegas.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, John, is that right? You'd have been. That's usually when you're there, right?
Actually, I would have. My trip was planned for the fourth weekend, so I would have not. It would have been the following week, but Yeah, I had to cancel for this year, but maybe next year if I'm there and there's a Raiders game going on, I certainly will try to partake. So that would be, that definitely would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And then, yeah, it's like you guys mentioned that the Nance game is Kansas City at L.A. Chargers. It's so hard to say L.A. Chargers. I just want to say San Diego. But, yeah, you can almost just close your eyes and envision, you know, Lynn's game plan is going to be like, let's try to win this game 16-13. And that's, you know, that's not going to happen against Mahomes. But that's a good point John made about Tyrod Taylor. He might not throw that many interceptions this year, but he might just throw deliberately short of the chains on countless third downs time and time again. And then, you know, I can't really see any of the other games where I got too much action on these screens, but I'm sure everyone will – I don't know. Atlanta Dallas has potential to be like an entertaining clown car situation. One of those you can't avert your eyes from the screen because they're just, as we saw, you know, Dallas. We can talk about that game too. Dallas at the end of that fourth quarter, like, oh, what are you guys doing? Like, I know McCarthy's trying to like add new stripes. You know, dog gets new stripes or whatever, but if you're going for it there, the Rams, that's not the last possession of the game. So just tie the game and move on. But who knows? Yeah. We'll just see what happens.
Well, I got to give it to him for trying. I mean, he pledged a commitment to analytics, and he was really going for it on that play. And it was like, wow, guy. Like,
yeah, he tried to just add how glad I am to have Mike McCarthy back in the NFL to wager against him. Just – He uses analytics, but that's probably the wrong time to go for it. Like, he did the same thing with the Packers. Like, he'd go for it at the wrong times, and he'd punt when you really should go for it. He just doesn't know what he's doing, and he's gonna flame out spectacularly with Dallas, and I can't wait.
Might be right. I mean, a lot of people loved the hire. I remember that very vividly. So we were gonna. I think that you are gonna be closer to right than the people who loved it, John. Honestly. All right, so let's get on to the very brief NCAA action part. There were like 15 games, and like a bunch of them were postponed. But I got to give it to Ron in New Jersey for his call of the week, and that was taking Louisiana plus the points. They not only took, you know, they not only covered the points, but they beat Iowa State pretty handily last week. Is really quite wild. So, John, I'll just give it to you for some quick hitters on college football. Really, it's nothing. It's really not even about what happened last weekend. It's about what happened tonight. And that is that the Pac-12 and Big Ten, over the course of the day, agreed to resume play for all intents and purposes. They've worked out their agreements with various governors of various states. It's a big story. So, John, your thoughts on that, plus whatever happened last weekend.
Well, I think the Pac-12 still has some hurdles to get through. They haven't announced anything yet, but it's in motion now, I guess, because there was still some red tape about practice size for some of the teams. Like, they couldn't even do 11 on 11 practice, and I think some of that was just allowed. So I think they're on their way, but they're probably still a couple, I would say at least a week or two away from announcing a return to play. But yeah, the Big Ten did announce today. We'll see how it goes. You know, they're going to try to play an 8-game schedule. And then I guess the final week is going to be the championship game week. However, it's not going to be just the championship game. I saw they're going to match up like, you know, team number two from the East versus team number two from the West, number three from the East versus three from the West, so on and so forth. So theoretically, we could get a Rutgers-Illinois matchup on the Saturday of the Big Ten championship game, which is just wonderful. But, you know, I saw the COVID, I guess, guidelines that are in place, and that, you know, if there's like a certain positivity rate on the team, they can't play or practice for like 10 days. If a player gets COVID, they can't play for 21 days, which is almost like half the season. So, you know, there's a very, very little room for error in this plan. So hopefully they get through it. But as we've seen already, like, it's just, it's the wild, wild west with these colleges, because, you know, some have different protocols than others. Some have, you know, depending on where it's located, because the restrictions and the guidelines are different from state to state on how you can practice and how many fans are let into the games and, you know, what's going on. One school might have students on campus and one school might be doing mostly virtual learning. So it's just crazy. And it makes it betting very, very difficult because this news breaks like literally right before the game. Case in point. So I was looking all week at taking Arkansas State against Kansas State. So the line early on in the week was Kansas State minus 10. And then by Friday, it got to 11. And then I woke up on Saturday, it was 12. And then it was 14. And then it was 15. I'm like, all right, what's going on here? Someone clearly knows something. And then sure enough, like a half hour before the game, after I'd put in my Arkansas State plus 15 bet, I see that they're missing like 80% of their defense to COVID or contact tracing and missing a bunch of players on offense. I'm like, oh shit, this bet has no chance. Well, sure enough, you know, Kansas State just laid the biggest egg ever and lost to essentially backup Sun Belt defense. And, Arkansas State had a great win, but it just goes to show you that, news could break at any minute, but somebody knows something because clearly the lines are being moved. Another game was Georgia Southern was giving just a shitload of points to Campbell, who's an FCS team. And it was like 35 the day before the game. And I was kind of doing a little research. So I put a bet down on Campbell just for the hell of it at plus 35. So then like an hour before the game, I see that Georgia Southern is missing like 35 players from their roster. And the line instantly dropped like 10 points. And they ended up winning the game by one. So my bet easily covered. But it's just stuff like this that's just so unpredictable to try to bet on college football this year. It kind of makes it fun, but at the same time, it's just really frustrating because you're never know when you're going to see that tweet that, you know, the star quarterback and 10 other people are out for the game, which makes it interesting. And like I said, frustrating too at times. But anyway, this week in terms of the games was more so about how the Big 12 was just an epic failure.
Yeah.
As mentioned, Louisiana Lafayette beats Iowa State, Arkansas State beats Kansas State, and then Coastal Carolina beats Kansas. So there you go. Three Sun Belt teams go on the road to the Big 12 and all three win. And then you had Texas Tech, who was like a 40-point favorite over Houston Baptist, win by 2 points. And I actually saw a tweet that Houston Baptist's field, like one half is the grandstand, and on the other side of the field, like there's a fence, and there's a CVS on the other side of the fence. So that's the school. You have to look up the picture. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. So Texas Tech only beat that school by 2 points and gave up like 600 yards passing. So just a miserable, miserable week for the Big 12. But other than that, there's really, really nothing else to mention. I mean, it was good to have college football on, even if it was a little different. And, you know, some of these schools did have fans, which is, I think it's just crazy. There should be no fans at any of these games right now, but in any event, you know, you're not going to tell the SEC and some of these schools not to have fans, but it is what it is. So
yeah.
Good to have college football back. And I do like seeing some of these teams that we talk about on the podcast, like from the Sun Belt and Conference USA, and some of these lower teams get some national airtime. So that's pretty cool to see.
Yep. There was an interesting game last. Well, interesting from the standpoint that it was close, the SMU versus Texas State. And there were fans at that game, and that shocked me. I was like, how, what? I was actually honestly surprised. So that's interesting. Let's go back to Tom because we still have to get his thoughts on the NFL this week. So I can give it to you for that. Tom, are you there? Let's see. He's coming in. Getting the phone. Yeah, I don't think he's muted. I think I need to get him to unmute. Okay, there we go. Okay, Tom.
Am I there?
Yep.
I think the one game you guys didn't mention, or if you did mention, you mentioned it only briefly, was Colts in Minnesota. I think the Colts are favored by 3, and I think they're at home, obviously. But I think that's a game where two teams are expected to do really well this year, and they both need the win coming off bad losses in week one. So I think that's one game that I'm looking forward to seeing is Colts and Minnesota. If I had to pick one team to win, I would pick the Colts -3. So if that's one NFL game that I'm looking forward to seeing that you guys haven't mentioned, is that one. Another thing that I found interesting is the rumors that Adam Gase is already on the hot seat for the Jets, which is mind-boggling, but it's really not. But he might get fired during the year, And I know Checker was talking about another coach getting fired during the year. I forget who he said, but I think if you're looking for a coach to get fired during the year, it's Adam Gase. A lot of Jet fans. I've obviously listened to WFAN Sports Talk all day, so a lot of Jet fans are beyond pissed with how the Jets are playing. So if they get off to a rough start, and their first five games are very rough, so it's fairly likely that they will get off to a rough start. So I think if there's a coach that's really in the hot seat, it's him. That's about it.
I'll tell you this. I mean, when you talk about a coach that forced a guy like Le'Veon Bell to play on an injury, and he basically knew he was hurt, that's pretty unforgivable. I can't imagine how he's going to survive the season. That's just outrageous. I will ask you guys about one more game, because I think this could be a real trap. But we have Denver at Pittsburgh. What do you guys think about that one, just off the top of your head? Any of you guys want to chip in on that one?
What's the number?
The number is 7 points. So the Steelers are favored by 7. I actually saw 7.5 somewhere.
I think the Steelers will cover that.
Okay. I guess we'll leave it at that. And then we'll go back to Andy. Let's get your thoughts on college from last week, if you have any.
Hey, Tommy, is that a Christmas tree?
I knew someone was going to comment on that. So my wife is crazy with trees. It's a fake fall tree.
Okay. I wasn't judging one way or the other. I'm like, maybe they just hang it up all year round, or maybe they're just getting ahead of the game. I'm not judging. It's good. Okay, look, it's fall. It's fall.
Ready for fall. And if it were up to my wife, she would legit have 6 trees in our house.
Dang.
But our house is only like 1,500 square feet, so we only have 3. But yeah, it's like a running joke with how many trees we can have in our house. We only have 1 right now, but when Christmas comes, I think we usually have 3 trees, and I think this year she wants 4.
Gotcha. All right, sounds good. All right, Andy, let's give you the floor.
Yeah, I'm still kind of golfing on Saturday, so I really haven't gotten that much into college pigskin. It feels weird. The selection, I mean, the inventory of games, and this is from someone that actually likes the Sun Belt, but it's just so weird, and the lines are so large for a lot of these games. And you know, I'm good with Central Arkansas. I think Central Arkansas is actually not playing this week because of COVID, but I'm done with Central Arkansas and Austin Peay and all that. But you know, you guys talked about the upset. Louisiana Lafayette. I get Louisiana Lafayette and Louisiana Monroe confused all the time. And Lafayette, I think, we took them a bunch last year because their logo reminds me of Popeye's Chicken. I remember L and the Raging Cajuns. But if you could go back, Dave, on your podcast archives, and John actually remembers, so it was either week 1 or week 2. Definitely wasn't week 0, so it was either week 1 or week 2. And John was like, they're playing Mississippi State, but the game's in the Superdome. Take Louisiana Lafayette. And we did. They covered. They didn't win. They had a chance, I think, to either like tie or win like late in the fourth quarter, but they covered that game. And I should have remembered that when thinking about Iowa State last week. But that's neither here nor there. We're still a few weeks away from the SEC getting into the fold, the Big 12. You know, last week, the joke on social media and with some of my UDuh friends was, you know, the Husky fan is – we'd rather be the Husky fan not playing than a Big 12, you know, a Big 12 school and losing to, like, an inferior opponent. But – I don't know. Now the Pac-12 might start playing, but yeah, what a bad look for most teams out of the Big 12. Texas notwithstanding, Texas actually embarrassed UTEP. I took UTEP getting the 43. But Notre Dame, none of the ACC schools have, not all the ACC schools have played yet, but you know, Notre Dame, they look good. We can talk about Florida State real quick. because I actually watched the fourth quarter of that game, and Georgia Tech beat them. Florida State, I think, was favored by 9 or so. And, you know, I'm kind of a karma guy. That Mike Norwell, he's off to a rough start. That Florida State program just, ever since they got rid of Jimbo Fisher, they just haven't been, they've been their own worst enemy. And Norwell, as good as he was with Memphis, they just, they're very Jekyll and Hyde. For all their offensive power in first half, they would always just seem to kind of lay eggs in the second half or the fourth quarter and, you know, get tight, not make adjustments. And for whatever reason, they just looked awful in the second half against a team that they probably had no business losing to. Texas State?
Oh, yeah,
Texas
USA, Antonio, right here.
Yeah, Twitter was going crazy about that, but I didn't really watch any of it. The Thursday game, that was on one of my computer screens. I'm all over De'Ara King this year until I'm not. So we can talk about that when we do the picks. But that Miami-UAB game, that's probably the game I watched the most of all week from a college football standpoint. I couldn't even tell you did ABC even have a primetime game at, you know, 5 o'clock?
I wouldn't know. I you know, it's funny, Andy. I stopped watching it right about the third quarter of the Notre Dame game. I was like, okay, I've had enough of this.
They actually did. It was Clemson and Wake Forest.
Really?
It was brutal.
That's right. Because Florida State, like, they switched the game, and it was like, if you want to watch Florida, so you got to go to like ESPN News or something. Yeah, that's right. Good call. And Clemson actually, Wake Forest covered that spread, but ooh, what a dreadful primetime game.
Yeah, that's why I was saying that Herbstreit and Fowler, at least until like these other conferences come back, keep them on Monday Night Football. It was good having them. I mean, their game this week is Louisville and Miami. I mean, it's okay, but it's just, it's not the same as what they would usually get on their Saturday primetime games. And I will say about that UAB game, you were probably watching that pretty closely. The UAB coach must have punted inside the Miami 40 like 5 times. Like, what the hell are you doing? Like, you're down 17 points and you're on the 40 yard line. Like, you're what are you doing punting? I just didn't understand that, but that's just me angry from my couch getting 15 points and not having it work out.
Yeah,
those are called coward punts. There's like an actual stat for that now, but it's gonna take a couple more weeks, I think, for me to really like get glued to the couch on Saturdays. I mean, I'm still going to bet a bunch of games this Saturday, obviously, but it's just, we all know, like, that first week, we're going to see, like, Alabama versus Dave's school. We're going to see Washington versus Yahtzee's school. And last week would have been, like, Ohio State, Oregon. And it's just that all just got pushed aside for all sorts of reasons. And it's just hard to get wrapped up in some of these games. And as we'll find out when we do these games, like, I'm going to be vested in Mac Brown for 3 hours on Saturday. I guess so, but we're going to have to.
Yeah.
The inventories, the shelves are only stocked with what they got. So you got to just kind of make the best of what's available.
Yeah, no question. So with that in mind, I can give you a look at what's ahead, and but we'll do that after picks. We'll start with the picks, and we think then there's a look at the games that were postponed last week, or a bunch of them. Look at that. There's like, if you look on the screen on YouTube, it's like, I can't say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games between weeks 2 and 3. Kind of crazy. So let's go to the picks, and we only have to do one pick, so let's just give these right away. And we'll start with Ron's pick here for week number 3 in college football. What is week 3? What is week 2? What is week whatever? I couldn't even tell you at this point. So here we go. The pick for Ron in New Jersey in college football. He scored with Louisiana last week. This week he stays in the state. He's going to go Louisiana Tech +5 against whoever. I didn't catch who they were playing. Let me see. I think I can get it right here. Okay. So Louisiana Tech is playing at Southern Miss. So that's the pick. All right. So now let's go over to Mr. John in Connecticut. John, when you're ready, we'll give it to you for your pick.
All right, Dave. I'm going to kind of go against the grain. I mean, we were all on Louisiana Lafayette last week, but you know, now they get the big upset win. Everyone's into them. They're the greatest team ever. And now they're laying 17 on the road. You know, whatever the road means this year, but it still means a little something. So I'm going to take Georgia State plus 17. It does worry me a little bit that this is their first game. And if anything's been proven so far this year with college football anyway, it's teams that had practices in the spring, that had scrimmages, that were able to do padded practices, have very much been ahead of teams that haven't. But I just think this is just your typical huge letdown spot after a big win like that, probably the biggest win in school history on the road. They're ranked in the top 25, and now they're laying a bunch of points to a conference rival. Georgia State, they do have to replace their quarterback from last year, who was a big part of the offense, but they return a bunch of O-linemen and other key players on their offense, and they were a bowl team last year. I think the spread is way too high. And even in that win by Lafayette last week, they had a punt return for a touchdown, they had a kick return for a touchdown. They really didn't gain that much in terms of sustained offensive yardage. So, I mean, while they did really shut down Iowa State, a few of those plays were kind of fluky, in my opinion, as you would think. Like, you know, you're not going to count on special teams touchdowns every week. So I think when you add all that in together, I just think 17 is way too much here. So give me Georgia State plus 17 for the letdown factor against Louisiana Lafayette.
Okay, thanks, John. And now we move in forward into picks, and I will go to my pick. Here we go. So here it comes. This is, as Andy was talking about, a really tough slate to pick games from, and it will continue to be for the next month. So I've made the most of it, and I'm going to go with Western Kentucky giving 14.5 at home against Liberty. And the only reason I'm taking it is because Liberty is a dog shit program. And, I mean, they had a little pop for a little while, but, I mean, they're bad. I also saw on Sports Insights that the juice was heavy on Western Kentucky with the spread. So that seemed to indicate that people really think that Liberty is pretty bad. So that's literally it. So Western Kentucky minus 14.5 for week three college football. All right. So now let's go over to Andy's pick. And Andy, when you're ready, I'm ready for you.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. I actually thought we were picking two because I thought week one we were only picking one and then moving forward. But so bonus pick, Miami plus 2.5 versus Louisville. That's the bonus pick. But for podcast purposes, I'm going to take UNC Charlotte getting 29.5 from UNC. Why? Mac Brown. I know they scored 31 and they won by 25 against Syracuse last week, but I don't know what the line was. All I'm saying is we've heard Mac Brown do broadcasts for many years now, and he is just conservative and safe and punting. He's everything he wasn't when he was a coach at Texas all those years ago. So I think even if the game gets out of hand, old Mac Brown will just take it easy. Let UNC Charlotte, you know, maybe get some garbage yardage. So give me UNC Charlotte plus 29.5.
All right. Thank you very much, Andy, for your pick. And now let's go over to Tom in New Jersey for his college pick. Let's see if we can locate him. Tom, you there? We wait. We ask to unmute. And let's see if we got him.
Tommy, can you hear me?
Tom?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, that's you. Okay, yeah, I can hear you. Yep, we're ready for you.
All right, so we're going to go to the Pac-12.
What?
And we're going to go with USC.
Pac-12?
I'm just playing with the game. Playing with you fellas.
Good stuff.
We're going to actually go with the Lou Holtz-led Notre Dame Fighting Irish against USF. And I think the spread is 26. We're going to take USF plus the 26 points.
Oh, didn't see you going there. I thought you'd go the other way.
Not impressed with Ian Book. I've never been impressed with him at quarterback. I'm upset that Jurkovic transferred. I think he's at Boston College now. I wanted him to be the quarterback this year. But, of course, they stayed with Ian Book. I think he's a terrible quarterback. I know this is college. You shouldn't expect as much from your quarterback, but I think he's terrible. So I think he's going to be – he's their biggest problem, and he's going to be the biggest reason why they don't – I don't know if they're going to have BCS championship game or whatever they have this year, but I don't think Notre Dame's going to play as well because of him. So I'm taking the points, and I think it's 26. So give me the points, Dave.
All right. Well, good luck, Tom. And there's only one pick, so there it is for Tom in New Jersey. USF plus 26. I was very close to taking that too. And I don't know, I still might off behind the scenes, but these are interesting. Well, like you said, this is a very odd slate, and I wish you all good luck on all your picks, everybody. Let's just talk a little bit about some potpourri. How much time do we have? We have like 10 minutes. So I'm going to go back to John for a second. John, I think we have a very interesting challenge on Sunday afternoon, because we're looking at a scenario where you're going to have the U.S. Open on a screen. You're going to have an NFL game on a screen. You're going to have Red Zone on a screen. You're going to have, you know, maybe if, as we go deeper into the day, we might have hockey and basketball on screens. And so what is your approach for an afternoon like this? Because you've got the final round of the U.S. Open at Winged Foot. You've got your Packers. I mean, I got my Steelers too. Like they're all playing at the same time. This is going to be a wild Sunday. What's your approach?
All right. So hockey and basketball will be hand waved for this occasion. Right. I mean, if it was game seven, then yeah, I would make time for a screen, but game one, game two, it's being hand waved. So the focus will be on football and golf. I will have what I did on Sunday was I pulled up one of those illegal Chinese streams to put the Packers on my laptop. It had the Red Zone on my television, and that's how I went about it. So for this Sunday, I will bring in a second TV, and I'll have another TV going with the golf coverage, and that's how I will approach the day. And then I'll probably have the golf on mute until about like probably 4 o'clock, and then I'll watch the last nine with the sound on, and probably mute the Red Zone for the 4 o'clock games, which aren't that great anyway. I think it's Washington and Arizona, LA and Kansas City, and then I think Houston and Baltimore. I mean, they're okay games, but definitely the final round of the U.S. Open will take precedence starting at 4. So that is my approach to the events on Sunday afternoon.
I like it. Really quickly, who's your favorite to win? Who do you have for the U.S. Open?
It's a good question. I mean, it's not a surprise to say, but I think you have to make either John Rahm or Justin Johnson your favorite to win. I mean, they've just been so impressive over the last month. I don't see any reason why that wouldn't continue into this tournament. They played very, very well at a course very similar, a U.S. Open style course at the BMW Championship last month, where par was a really good score. So I think you have to make them the favorite. I think if you want to go down a little bit after that, I think guys like Xander Schauffele, I think he's always he'll be right there. So if you're like you're betting top 10, top five, I think he'd be a good pick. I think Webb Simpson is probably going to be right there at the end. Again, another maybe a top five or top 10 pick if you're doing some bets. And then I've seen as a really deep sleeper, some people liking Mackenzie Hughes. I don't know about that, but I guess he's a great putter, and again, he played well at that BMW course a couple of weeks ago. So those are kind of, I guess, some plays. And I will say I bet Tiger Woods to miss the cut plus 150. I think he has no chance at this course, and I think he's going to miss the cut. So there you go.
Cool. I am going to go with another fairly mundane pick. I'm going to go with Justin Thomas to win. Although if you ask me to pick a second person, I'd probably pick Xander Schauffele. Still, I mean, how can you pick against Dustin? Like, he's been playing such great golf. Like, it was a great win, winning the FedEx Cup last week in the playoff and everything. That was pretty good stuff. Andy, let me give it to you. Your approach and who are your picks for the U.S. Open?
Well, first, I got to backtrack. Hey, John and Tommy, are the leaves changing colors where you guys live?
A little bit. Not really.
Yeah, not too much where I am. I was up at like upstate New York last week, and they're starting to, but not where I'm at.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I got the Golf Channel on mute on the TV set, and there's Wingfoot is basically full blown foliage. I don't know.
True story.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's one way or the other. I don't really care one way or the other, but I thought it was interesting. I'm sure it's not like, oh, let's have the trees aren't going into foliage just for the U.S. Open. I know that, but I was just like, the leaves are already changing color.
Where is Wingfoot? Is that in Connecticut?
It's in New York, but it's like close. I think you just have to like take a ferry to get to Connecticut. I'm sure like
Long Island. Yeah.
Merrimack? I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, right. I know it's a private course too, right? So it's way out there.
Oh God, yeah, that's a private course.
Yeah.
All I know is I saw some brown and red trees in the fairway. So I'll have a similar setup to John. I've got a computer monitor right here. And I got this laptop right here, and I got a TV right there. For Sunday, on this TV monitor, this computer monitor here, whatever, an HP, pretty big HP, I'll have four NFL games on via the NFL Sunday Ticket. I'll have a game on this laptop here, probably like the local Fox game. And then on the TV, I'll have golf on the TV. Like the big, you know, your regular like TV room TV, that'll be golf. I'm sure some people would have golf on the smaller monitor and then NFL on the big, but for a major, and I'm a golf mongo, I'm going to have golf on the bigger TV with the sound on the golf. And I'm just going to, I'm all into it tomorrow. I'm going to be all into it Friday. Told Monica, see ya. Like I'm gonna be getting into that like NBC Peacock because NBC Peacock's gonna have like the very late coverage tomorrow, like the early coverage Friday. I have to get involved there. And in terms of a winner, I would lean Rom over DJ, but that's not really going outside the box. I'm just from a pragmatic standpoint, I'm gonna actually bet on John Rahm. I think he's like 8.5 to 1. And then I'll probably do Xander, either top 5 or top 10. Do a little capital allocation there. It's going to be tough. I know the U.S. Open loves to accentuate the length of rough. The last time it was there in 2006, the winning score was +5, Jeff Ogilvy. The players are a lot better now, but I can't see like -12, -15 winning. Like I'd love to see single numbers under par or even anything like a -5 winning or even it'd be weird to see E winning because with all this talent, it's hard to close your eyes and see like Dustin Johnson winning like +1. Where like in 1998, that wouldn't be that out of the realm at all. You'd expect a U.S. Open winner to be like +1 or +2. All that to say, it's going to be interesting. And that rough, I think it was Brad Faxon, he dipped a can of lemonade into the rough, and you could barely see the top of the can. So That's someone like Bryson DeChambeau. He's going to, if he doesn't like hedge it back and like, let's try to hit the drive 310 rather than 350. If he's in the rough, he's going to have some problems. And to John's statement, like if Tiger's in the rough, he's just going to he's going to get cranky. His back's going to act up. He's going to overswing. I like Tiger. I don't see him built for success. If the course is as tough as what everyone's saying going into this major.
Yeah, that is going to be very tough for both of those guys. And as a matter of fact, I actually put in a bet for Bryson DeChambeau to miss the cut at 225, plus 225, I think it is. I'm like...
I like that. Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's good odds. So, no, we'll put a unit on it, see how it goes. Yeah, I mean, just to elaborate as far as the setup, I mean, pretty similar. Like, you have positioned stuff very conveniently to your eyeballs, Andy, and it's the same for me. So what I'm looking at right now, I'm looking at my giant computer screen. It's about a 27-inch computer screen. I'm assuming that this is going to have probably... maybe the red zone will be on here. And off to this side, which is where the laptop is, facing diagonally, that's probably going to have the Steeler game. And similarly, I'm going to have the golf on the big screen. Now, what I could do is I could swap those. I could do the red zone on the big screen and the golf in the little one for now, but I just feel like it's too important. Like, I think the golf's going to be the primary thing. And similarly, I'm going to have the sound on the golf, and we'll just see how everything goes, you know? Like, it's going to be very interesting. John, you did make a point. I think it actually was Panther who made the point with us that they're going to, like, the odds of someone finishing, like, two under or lower are really low, and I guess I can give it to you for some thoughts on that, too.
Yeah, and Andy made the point that I brought up to you guys via group text, like, just the quality of players from, like, number player one to player 152 is so much better now than it was in 2006, where, you know, it's actually kind of hard to see plus five being the winning score unless it's just completely just tricked out by the USGA with, you know, the greens, or you can't even, like, hold a wedge on the green, or... You know, it's impossible if you get in the rough to even get it to the green. I mean, that'd be the only way that I would say plus five is going to be the winner. So I think Mike is onto something with, you know, maybe being minus two or minus three being the winning score. I mean, guys are going to struggle, but I don't think it's going to be a scenario where plus five or plus three is the winning score, just because I think the players are so much better now, you know, just from top to bottom. Like he said, you know, 2006 was the year when, you know, Tiger Woods is battling Chris DeMarco for majors. You know, you look at the top 15 or 20 in the world now. I mean, they put Chris DeMarco to shame, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Now let's give Tommy a chance to chime in on any of this. What are your thoughts going about this really action-packed weekend?
Sorry about that, boys. My phone died, obviously. I think you guys picked up on that, but my phone died, so that's why I just randomly dropped...
Oh, no worries.
Good 2 minutes trying to find my phone charger. But, for betting, what I typically like to do is I like to – obviously, I'm a big parlay player. So I usually like to do a few parlays Sunday morning in the early games. And I usually do one parlay where I think I have the most likely chance to win back my money. And that's what happened last week. Is that I broke even, and then I usually like to do another parlay for the late games, or I usually sometimes just wait for the Sunday night game. And of course, I took Dallas last week, but luckily early on I cashed out quickly into the first quarter. I just did not like how Dallas was playing, so I cashed out and I broke even for the weekend, thankfully. And then during the entire game, I was regretting cashing out because I thought Dallas was actually going to win, because I reminded myself that Jared Goff is the quarterback, and it just looked like the Rams were totally outplaying Dallas completely on both sides of the field, and Dallas was within striking distance, and they actually had a chance to tie it, and then Mike McCarthy was Mike McCarthy, and you know how that ended. But I'm rambling now, but I like to do three parlays in the early games, one where I have the most likely chance of winning back in case the other two break, and then usually do this Sunday night game. I usually try to stay away from the Monday night game, but I don't know if you guys were talking about betting strategies or just strategies in general, but that's usually what I like to do.
Okay. Yeah. And I do enjoy looking at your parlay every week. You know, you share that with us a lot, so it's pretty good. I was annoyed, Dave,
that you wrote texting me at like very early on, pretty much saying the Jets are the Jets and that there's no shot that I'm going to get hit on that. And I was like, I'm thinking about the back of my head, and that, yeah, now I'm definitely not going to hit because you're commenting on it. And, that was the dumbest bet I've done in a while, was picking the under in that game. Because the Jets are the Jets, and the Bills didn't have to do much. And I still actually had a shot for the under in that game late. But, the Eagles and obviously the Colts really let me down. And the Colts, they killed me in many ways. They were my survivor pick, too. So, yeah, screw them.
Yeah, you were talking about that on the board. We could not figure out a survival pick. That's a tricky one. That is a tricky one. So,
It was between them and the Eagles, so I was going to lose either way.
That's true. It was a tough week to do it. Like, I was thinking, I don't remember if the Chiefs were eligible. I probably would have just gone with them, but even then, like, it's never really, not really no certainty in that scenario.
I should. The smart thing to do, I know we're just killing the Jets, just to pick the Jets opponent every week. That's the smart thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, you got to pick it this week. I mean, Niners, NFC defending NFC champions. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, that's an easy one then for anyone still alive. John, I'll give it to you for final thoughts now, but I did want to also give you a shout out to your Pick'em League. It is unbelievable the work you put into this. Like, I'm really impressed by all the spreads and scenarios and the outcomes and the chart and everything. It's an incredible thing to be a part of, and I really appreciate, you know, being invited to it. So my thanks to you for that, and I'll give it to you for final thoughts.
Oh, thanks, Dave. I stole it from – I was in the exact same pool with, like, these other people, and, you know, me and my dad were partners on an entry, and sure enough, like, the guy took, like, 6 months to pay us after we had won. And after that, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do this, run it myself. And it definitely is a lot of fun for – people listening, it's like a head-to-head kind of league where you pick games against the spread and you would go against another person's picks, and then there would be like standings and you know, you go from there, but it's a lot of fun. And you know, you can hit me up, I guess, well, next season, because we've already started this year. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's different than most pick'em pools, and it really isn't that much work to put the stuff together, but it is a different kind of element of betting, because you have the head-to-head aspect. It's like a fantasy league, but for betting, basically. But which is pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, we're, you know, I'm very glad that the football is back and here to stay for the foreseeable future. And you know, when you throw the U.S. Open into it on a football weekend, it really doesn't get much better than that. So should be much to discuss here next week, that's for sure.
Oh, no doubt about it. Can't wait for next week's recap too. We'll have a lot to talk about. Oh, that's right. We're going to do a golf show then, probably. So I'll get back to you on that too, John. Yeah, good stuff. Andy, let's talk to you about final thoughts. I mean, certainly a lot has gone on and a lot will go on and more to come.
Yeah. I mean, where do we start? I mean, we could go on a Jeff. That's, you got to keep an eye on that. Sean McVay has no trust in Jared Goff. And as someone who had the Rams Sunday night, I was like, this game is like, Goff's going to screw us at some point. He's going to screw us over at some point. And they got away with it. But, oh, man, that could be a development. Like, I know there's Jared Goff apologists out there, but he just looks slow out there sometimes. But, it's a pick'em league. It's more of a league element than a pool, I would say. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, and it just adds to your choices of degenerate activities, you know, in the fall and early winter. Final thoughts. It's going to be a great weekend if you're a sports fan. Buried beneath the rubble of all the stuff that's real, there's a baseball season going on, and eventually they're going to have a playoff. And it's just going to – it's such a joke. Like, NHL playoffs and NBA playoffs, it's kind of like it's the regular season was almost 75% complete. So it's like the regular season ended on like a cliffhanger. If you're binge watching the regular season, it ends, and then COVID happens, and then you're on to season two. But the seasons, you know what I mean? Like the season one ended on a cliffhanger. Season two, you're in the bubble. You've got your postseason, and it feels more real. Baseball is just like I said this 2 months ago. You're having the office Christmas party the third week of January. You know, a lot of hotel people, if you work in a hotel, if you work in a restaurant, you can't have your Christmas or holiday party in December because you're renting it out to other companies. So you have your office holiday party in January. But then you're like, I've already celebrated every holiday under the sun. I don't want to have an office holiday party in January. That's what the baseball season feels like. And, you know, God bless Captain. God bless Fiddle. It's not real. And the seven-inning doubleheaders, they might have, like, Fiddle wants a mercy rule. Like, Fiddle, of all people, should not want a mercy rule. I just don't get it. And yesterday, Manfred said, no days off. So it's just – it's so dumb, Dave. It's dumb.
And then they're going to bring it back next year, the 16-team format. I mean, that's a disgrace. I just – I lost – I really had to let the bad taste in my mouth. That was just
– I think – Larry Scott and Fred and Manfred they're cut from the same cloth. They might have the best intentions in the world, but every decision they make is seldom well received. It's just like they usually get lampooned for everything, whether it's fair or unfair. They just can't get out of their own way sometimes. No.
It's hysterical. So Tom, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas early. And I'll give it to you for final thoughts.
With the Major League Baseball playoff scenario, what's the point of playing 162 games if half the teams get in the playoffs? This is so stupid.
It's
strictly for the diehards now. It's for the captains who live and die with every game. It's for people like that. It's for 90% of my Twitter feed. And don't get me started on my Twitter feed on Sundays during NFL, because you got all these dopes comments about a meaningless Yankee game as if it's life or death. And I'm trying to get updates on the football, and I have clowns on my Twitter feed just commenting on a stupid Yankee game that means very little in the grand scheme of things. And I'm the moron who follows all these people. So during the Sunday games, I'm muting people on Twitter left and right so I can get updates on the games that actually matter, because I don't have the package yet. That's long story short. So I forgot what I was going to say. My kid's crying hysterically. But thanks for having me on, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anytime, boys.
Hey, guys. It has been a lot of fun. Thank you, Tommy. Take it easy. John, have a good night as well. Andy, good to check in with you again. Enjoy the games, fellas.
You too. Good luck, everybody. All right,
Dave. Thanks.
Good luck, everyone.
All right, guys.
Peace.
Night, everyone. All right, that's our show tonight. Look at that. We're back to business. And that's our show. That's the football picks this evening. We hope you enjoyed it. That was good stuff. So hope you enjoyed it. If you missed anything in the last couple of weeks, you can check us all out. Just go to ditcow.com for the replays and what have you, or you can go to at ditcow to see anything that we're up to on our program. We send our best to Ron in New Jersey, and we wish him good luck on the picks as well. This has been fun. Enjoy the U.S. Open and the football. We will see you next time.